Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo woo! Good Monday morning, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Hope we're getting ready to have another fantastic week here. Good morning, my friends. How was the weekend for you guys?
Good, man. I had a good time. I hung around Saturday, obviously chilled. Went to lunch with my son. Yesterday, I went out and did a little protesting with LZ, and we did about, 4 miles in the streets of Hollywood into West Hollywood. So that was.
Did you take tennis shoes?
That was pretty good. I wore actual
proper footwear.
Yeah, Chuck Taylor's. It was cool. It was good though. It was interesting. It was there to see and be a part of everything. And at the end of the day, LZ and I wind up. We went to West Hollywood. And we wind up at the Abbey having a few cocktails as we ended the march and the protest. And prior to my arrival at the Abbey, a few of LZ's friends wanted to put glitter all over me, and I had to immediately let them know.
Travis,
that not taking place.
Travis, I don't think business. He has said his wife's name faster at his own wedding. It was the funniest thing. So this cute, sweet little tweak, all covered in glitter, him and his boa.
God.
They both covered in glitter, shirtless, the whole nine, because it was a combination of the Black Lives Matter rally as well as Pride. So the two forces joined for one unified message. It was a beautiful thing to see. But sure. This kid sees Key, looks him up and down. He didn't lick his lips, but his eyes licked his lips for him.
Right. Metaphorically licking
exactly.
His lips. Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he goes, "Do you like glitter?" And Keith was like, and immediately Keith goes, "Oh, well, you know my wife. Oh, she'll kill me. Oh. My wife. Oh." And he's moving and he's shuffling and all that. And you got me scared for the twink. He might be 65 pounds. Man, you okay? You all right? Yeah, so he's never said my wife so damn fast. I swear, if he had a reservation at a hotel, it's like, "Are you staying alone?" "Oh, no, I'm not staying alone. I'll have my wife with me." No. He said,
man, I had
"Do
to
you
let
like
know
glitter?"
Real quick, though, Travis, I had to let you know, man.
No confusion. We're going to make very clear what we're doing here from the job.
Yeah. And I'm good with it, and I had fun. And me and LZ, we hung out at the Abbey, and it was a lot of it was interesting, man. Let's just put it that way.
We ran into Beatles' brother.
Yeah, we met Michelle Beatles' brother, and I originally got carded, but I didn't have my ID, and the guy had to take off my mask. And once he looked at me, he goes, "Well, I had to card you, man. You look so damn young." I said, "Well, man, I'm you know."
Well, I think that was something else going on there, Key.
Travis,
Travis,
I took a step to the side. I was like, "I'm going to let them have their exchange."
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, it was the sharks were circling the table, that's for sure.
Literally. This brother walked up, pretend like he didn't know which way the exit was, and posed right in front of our table for a good 3-5 seconds, and then walked away. And I just looked at Kid. I was like, "Ain't this some blank?"
It's like the exit sign is right there, man. You ain't got to circle my table, dog.
He just wants to make sure he knows where all the fire exits are.
But it was fun.
Just in case
it was fun
anything happens.
It was fun. It was interesting, though, because, you know, obviously we do a morning sports morning show, but the number of people that supported our show that was a part of the movement was incredible. I mean, it was like every step you walk, it was like, "Oh my God, there's LZ Grandison, LZ Grandison, LZ Grandison, LZ Grandison. Oh, can you take a picture? LZ Grandison, I'll listen to you guys in the morning. Oh my God." You know, it was pretty interesting.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And the video that you sent, Key, to the group, I mean, just an incredibly impressive turnout. Like you said, you got two important things coming together at the same time. And that, Key, before LZ, you hopped on the call this morning, Key said he thought there was about 50,000 people out there yesterday.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, and unlike other pride parades, you know, no floats, you know, not a lot of vehicles, you know, part of the pride parade, you know, obviously is the sense of community, but it's a show. And people go all out, companies go all out with these really elaborate floats. Well, it was none of that for a variety of reasons. Number one being this wasn't the time for floats, mm-hmm. you know, and they weren't even really chanting anything other than Black Lives Matter, all Black Lives Matter, Black trans people matter, Black gay people matter too. Like, it was very, very focused. You didn't hear a lot of splintering off about any sort of other, you know, itineraries or agendas. And it was peaceful. Like, we didn't, what did you say, Key? We might have seen five police officers in the entire, you know, route.
I didn't see anything until we got near West Hollywood Sheriff's Department. We've seen, you know, two or three cars that had to block off the streets. Other than that, there was none. But it's so interesting that if you just follow that and see that, you have no problems with that. The police agitate people. So they away, ain't everything cool. We ain't no problem. Ain't nobody agitated. The moment that they start coming around and mean mugging and standing there with their bulletproof vests on and their billy clubs in their hand, that agitate folks. So you stay away, everything cool. You come, you start agitating people. People are there to peacefully protest and march, and that's exactly what happened. There was no police in sight. The only thing that was in sight was a dude on top of it. But you had to see this dude, Travis. It was a guy, as we was going down Fairfax, there was a guy standing on his balcony with a, I think he had like a lion's head on.
No,
or something.
It was a bear.
Oh, it was a bear. A bear head on in a Speedo. Just uh-oh. Dancing on the balcony, man. It was like, man, what the hell? You got me at LC.
It was unusual. It was unusual, Travis. It was now to his credit, the body was right.
Well, I would hope so.
He was living in the moment, but it was good. It was a good turnout, good everything, and I'm glad that I was a part of it and had an opportunity to do it.
That's great. All right, so right before we went into the weekend, the NBA is continuing to get closer to having all of their players get together, restarting camp, restarting practices, getting ready for that relaunch of the season towards the end of July. Kyrie Irving was on a call with about 100 other players, and he is trying to organize the players into not playing when the league restarts. He thinks that the time is not right to go back and play basketball right now, that there is momentum on the social protests, on Black Lives Matter, and he thinks that restarting the league will take away from that message. The vast majority of other players around the league are saying, no, we can do both at the same time. We're going to go back and do it. But this really is the first we have seen from the NBA, at least publicly with names on it, about some reluctance to go back and start the season towards the end of July.
Yeah, I'm with the other players. I'm with Austin Rivers and LeBron James and Patrick Beverley. I'm with those guys in that camp. I don't know what Kyrie's trying to do. I have no idea, but the message is clear. If the King James feels like this, they should play it on the court, much like Patrick Beverley said, it's probably what they're going to do. More than likely what they're going to do. And yes, there is concern about COVID-19, and there's some concern about other things, but as far as the message being lost, you could do both. It's not that you can't do both. You're active on social media every day, any damn way. So if you want to continue to talk, even though you're going to be in a bubble in Orlando and you may not be able to get out in protest to do some of the things from that standpoint, but there's videos, there's ways of, what is it, Facebook Live, there's all sorts of ways to get that message out. Plus, you're going to be playing on live television. So there's another way to get the message out. So I really don't know what angle Kyrie Irving is trying to go in. I just don't. I mean, because I don't think,
if I had well, to he was guess
talking,
at it.
He was talking specifically that by playing basketball, not the players, but the fan base, a large portion of which are Black, would then be more interested in what's going on and who won what game, as opposed to staying focused and being in the streets that what's currently happening today. That's his point. So it's not about whether or not the players can keep on message. It's about whether or not the fans would splinter their attention because of the return of the NBA.
No, I don't think that would be the case, because the players are going to keep the attention on the fans, and the fans are watching what the players are doing. And as the players are continuing to help with the message, the fans will continue to help with the message. It's not like the fans are going to be in the building. It's not like the fans are going to be stuck and glued to their televisions sets 24 hours, 7 days a week. I mean, we just said it was 50,000 people, okay, out there. And that was only our section, not including Silver Lake, downtown L.A. in front of City Hall, not include different parts of the United States where there were gatherings and there was protests. We were in L.A., and we went from one destination to the next. But there's other pockets of Southern California that protest was going on. There's other pockets across the United States that there was protests going on. All of a sudden, that's just not going to come to a screeching halt.
Kyrie was not the only one that said maybe we shouldn't go back. There was another player, a Laker, in fact, who may be down with Kyrie's side of the argument as well. We'll tell you who and what it means for the Lakers. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, guys, so it's interesting that we've talked so much about baseball and how they can't get their act together. And by the way, they still haven't. We'll get back to that a little bit later on. They're expecting a final proposal today. But basketball, the NBA has been pretty good about this, that the NBA players and the league have been collaborating throughout this entire thing, getting ready for a relaunch. Kyrie Irving's comments and Kyrie Irving's concerns really were the first non-health-related issues that we've heard about regarding the restart, where maybe he and some like-minded people decided that maybe they don't think it's a good idea to go back. The question, I think, is how many people share his point of view? How many people are also saying, yes, we have a moment in history here. Going back and playing will take attention away from the moment. We'll take the momentum away from the moment, and we need to make sure that we keep our eyes on the ball. One of those people that at least is hinting that he agrees is Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard says that, you know, he thinks that he might not be ready to come back and play basketball. He hasn't made up a decision. His agent said, you know, he's still trying to figure out exactly what it is he wants to do. But it's not nobody. Maybe it's not a huge percentage of people, but Dwight Howard, Avery Bradley is another that at least are listening to Kyrie and the message that he's pushing forward.
Yeah, you're going to always get a handful of guys that, you know, have their own thoughts and you know, feelings about certain situations. But at the end of the day, I don't think that the overwhelming contingent of players that would, you know, take the side, if you want to say, of Kyrie, that number's large enough to not get the NBA back in action or loud enough for people to really pay attention to what Kyrie is saying. Because much like Patrick Beverley said, and Austin Rivers and LeBron James, I mean, there's guys that I think more so would follow the lead of a LeBron James more so than they would of a Kyrie Irving. And this becomes one of those, not necessarily power struggles, but to a degree, who's popular? Is it King James or is it Kyrie Irving? I would think that more people would lean toward LeBron and LeBron wanting to play and LeBron staying on message and making sure that the fans stay on message, opposed to this, you know, Dwight Howard, I don't really know what I want to do. And his agent had to come out and release another statement clarifying exactly what he meant by what he said, because that message was kind of trying to somewhat, you know, hijack by the media and turn it into whatever it is. Oh, he doesn't want to, he don't want to play, he don't want to, but he never ever said, I do not want to play.
He said he's still trying to make up his mind.
He said he's still trying to make up his mind, but he also said, I agree with Kyrie. So,
yes.
While he didn't necessarily say it explicitly, he certainly, in saying I agree with Kyrie, gave you the impression that sitting out was a real possibility for him. And it goes beyond Dwight Howard. I mean, Lou Williams has voiced some things as well. I think that what's going to end up happening is that the NBA, and I have no doubt they'll do this because Mike Bass, the communications director, as well as Adam Silver are just two outstanding pros at this, getting ahead of the situation. They're not going to get blindsided when eventually the NBA gets asked about this intersection. And it's not going to be about Kyrie as much as it's going to be about the premise, which is, are we distracting people from the movement? You know, it's like, yes, the players can continue to bring it up in interviews and wear a patch on their jersey. They can do things to let you know where we're supposed to be at in terms of our focus. But the fan base, you know, the people who have been locked up in quarantine with no live sports for months and months and months, the people who are out in the streets protesting now, do we have 50,000 people if the playoffs are going on? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a legitimate question. And I think eventually the NBA is going to be asked that question, not just because of Kyrie, but because there's going to be enough people who are chirping up with this idea force a question to be asked.
Do you think, though, LZ, that it's going to take from it? Do you think? Would you
yes,
sit down
I do.
And be more yes, concerned I do think. With basketball opposed to what's going on out here in the world?
Yes, I do believe there will be people who will be distracted, and rightfully so. You got to remember, we got tens of millions that are still unemployed. We've been in this quarantine. There's been no live sports, and I do believe there'll be people who will want to spend more time not thinking about their troubles than being out on the street. That doesn't mean that the movement is going to die, because the movement is being led by the young people who seem to be very, very focused and being supported and undergirded by our politicians. But I do believe there will be some people, some, who will be distracted and will take this as a welcome way to unplug from the stress in their life.
Well, you got to wonder, too, and I want to be careful how I say this so it doesn't get misconstrued, but the messenger in this case may not be the right guy. Kyrie Irving is, for lack of a better word, a very strange guy. He's a guy that is kind of all over the map. He's not a guy that I don't think anybody would ever classify, I should say, as a leader. That he's a guy that blew up the Celtics because he had no leadership ability. This is a guy that did not really understand how to interact with LeBron James when they were together in Cleveland. And he may be the message may be right. Hey, let's not take our eye off the ball here. We have some momentum. If we start playing basketball, people's attentions are going to be divided and we're going to lose some of the focus that we have here on the issues at hand. But if Kyrie Irving is the driving force behind this, you wonder how effective it can be. Whereas, because just flip it on its head, if LeBron James were saying what Kyrie Irving say, we would not be playing basketball in a month and a half. It just, there's no way, shape, or form that we'd have a basketball season if LeBron's saying, I don't think we should play because we have some momentum, we have issues that need to be addressed, and if we go and play, people are going to lose track of those issues. We shouldn't do that. There would be a chorus of people saying, I agree with LeBron. If it were somebody like Chris Paul, who's very well respected throughout the league, you wonder if that might be enough. But Kyrie Irving just seems to be the wrong messenger in this whole thing. I go back to a statement that Woj had in his piece earlier, talking about, I'm not as interested in him as the messenger than I am in the league. That's from a Western Conference player telling Woj that on Friday. It's just that Kyrie seems to be the wrong guy for this.
Yeah, and that goes to what I was saying earlier. It's like more people are going to align with those guys that you mentioned and let their feelings be known before they will with Kyrie. They're going to do it with LeBron James or Chris Paul, because their voices and who they are, they respect Kyrie on the basketball court. There's no question about it. Some probably respect him off the court. But things that his behavior is so strange that I don't think people take him very serious in certain situations. And so because of that, he won't be able to get that momentum the way that we envision, that we think, you know, that we talk about, where LeBron James simply says he wants to play. And the first thing Patrick Beverly does is says, well, King James say he want to play. We playing. Let's ball. And so when you think about that, it's like, okay, there's some legitimate concerns. There's no question about it. But the majority of these players want to play basketball and they want to get back going. And so I think that they're going to find a way to make that happen regardless. And Kyrie's been hurt and on the sideline for so long. So you've been on the sideline for all this time, and now you're coming out and you saying that they shouldn't play. You shouldn't play because the movement might get lost. Well, it's like, well, are you?
Yeah, but put it this way, Keith. Let's say, for instance, it was Kevin Durant who's been on the rack for a season. He's been hurt too. If Kevin Durant were saying, I think it would get a much different reception.
It would do.
Than
it Kyrie, would totally
Kyrie
do.
Irving is such a peculiar guy who's thrown so many other weird stuff out into the universe. And not that what he's saying now is weird. That's not the point. The point is that Kyrie's credibility when it comes to rallying people to being the center of a movement, a leader, that's not his lane. It's never been his lane.
But the interesting thing on the call, the call that they had, some of those top figures wasn't on that call. Those guys were not on that call. So it's almost like, I'm going to do this, I don't know, for whatever reason. That wasn't the initial call. The initial call was had something to do with the WNBA and some other stuff. And then all of a sudden, it turned to what Kyrie was talking about. So when you look at it, it's like, well, he didn't say that when they was on the call with LeBron and them. He didn't say that when they was on the call with the NBA, PA, and the league. Like, it's like now you're saying it when those guys are on the call.
Let me ask you guys this question because I go back and forth with it. And I haven't had an opportunity yet to talk to Doc about it. But when it was discovered that Donald Sterling was just flat out like grand poobah racist, right? There was a choice that was made by the Clippers players to keep playing. That they thought they had a chance to win the championship. A lot of people wanted to see them sit that out to send a message. And they opted to play and disappointed a great deal of people by doing that, especially when, you know, at the end of the day, all they did was take their jerseys off or their warm-ups and throw them in the middle of the court and then walked off the court. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to win a championship and they played and disappointed people. Do you guys agree with how the players handle that looking back? Or do you think they should have sat out? Because obviously that conversation is very much on par with what Kyrie is talking about today.
Well, I think they did the right thing because they got rid of Donald Sterling ass. Okay, he was gone. So they did the right thing because the one dude that was dirt, they got rid of, which was Donald Sterling. The league made a decision that the players spoke up, and it was more important for them to have their players than to have a racist-ass owner, somebody that they had let stay in the league far too long. But once the players started to speak up and it became a public situation, they responded in the manner in which they should have. That's the way I look at it.
LZ, maybe you can help me with this. I don't remember the timeline exactly right, but my recollection of it is that the league itself already had some momentum removing Donald Sterling. So when the players decided that, you know what, we're going to turn our stuff inside out, ultimately throw it on the ground in the middle of the court and go about our business, it felt like both the players and the league had already started the process of removing Donald Sterling. Had they not been getting what they needed from the league, had Adam Silver not said, guys, I'm going to take care of this. Don't worry. We're going to make sure that this guy's out of here. Then I think it's a much tougher question for those players. Had those players not gotten some support from the league saying, we get this, we're going to fix it, we're going to go about this, we're going to make it happen quickly, then the decision to maybe shut it down and not play at all becomes more of a viable option at this point. Because had they not been getting what they need, for instance, if the NBA was doing what, you know, some people think the NFL is doing, trying to have it both ways, not saying this person's name or not saying that person, and trying to kind of thread that middle ground, then maybe say, no, we're not going to play. You don't understand how serious this is. We're not going to play until you understand the gravity of the situation. I don't think it ever got there because the NBA had supported the Clippers players and knew that they needed to remove the owner. Do I have the timeline right on that?
I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, the criticism, of course, was that, you know, Donald Sterling was still in place. You know, so you find out the information, the playoffs are starting. And so the NBA said it was going to handle it, but it was far from it being accomplished at that point.
Well, you know, they can't, you know how it goes, LZ. They can't.
No, I know how it goes.
Yeah, they can't just hit the switch because it's, you know, they got a liability. They got to do it a certain way, but it was in the works. It was happening. It wasn't going to be, it's happening, then all of a sudden he's suspended, but yet he's allowed to come back and be – no, they wasn't going to do that. They just had – I'm sure from a legal standpoint, they had to do it a certain way so they wasn't sued.
I do believe that it's interesting that the relationship that the players had with Adam Silver and the NBA allowed that degree of trust between them. I mean, baseball still can't figure out how to get back to playing. You could bet that the NFL wouldn't have had the same sort of latitude in terms of trust with the players. The owners say, we're going to handle this. You think the players are going to believe them?
It's interesting because it did come up with Jerry Richardson, and that came up after the Donald Sterling thing, and the NFL did swiftly come in and remove him and make him sell the team real fast.
This is where the intersection of these two things happen, where the NBA says the NFL is not doing enough. Greg Popovich put the finger on somebody specifically. We'll tell you what he said next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It is kind of interesting to think about if Dwight Howard does make a decision that maybe he doesn't want to play, what that does to the Lakers. And it wouldn't just be the Lakers. There would be other teams, if they have a player here or there, that decide that, you know what, I'm not ready to do this because of the reasons that Kyrie Irving has brought up, or maybe there's health concerns, that if we get these teams in some percentage less than 100 of what we saw before, how it changes the dynamic of the impending reboot of the season and obviously the playoffs.
It would, and you know, these things come up all the time where players feel a certain way about situations that they have to go through to get their minds right, their bodies right, when you stop and you restart. There's a lot of time in between, a lot of dead time. So you're thinking a lot. You're sitting there trying to process what's happening before your eyes. And I think at the end of the day, you know, there'll be some players in the NBA that still may feel a certain type of way, but I don't think that it'll be nearly as many to even get that type of momentum going to where the NBA stops.
The thing, if it were Dwight Howard, I mean, and Dwight Howard says that, you know, he told CNN that he agrees with Kyrie and the NBA's return could, quote, only be a distraction. Okay, and I respect him feeling that way. That's a perfectly legitimate take to have in this. It would alter the Lakers as a basketball team. Now, that may be secondary. That may be not nearly as important as the larger issue that we're talking, but Dwight Howard was an incredibly important part of what the Lakers did through the first part of the regular season, and you can only assume is an incredibly important part of what they're hoping to accomplish in the postseason.
Yeah, and that's true, but a lot goes into this thinking of Dwight, right? I mean, obviously, the Black Lives Movement and what's going on and police brutality and everything is important. It's more important in sports. There's no question about it. But when you look at it and you just stay with the sports part of it, if Dwight Howard was given a second chance and LeBron James is on that team and everybody else is playing and you want to be the one player to decide to not do it, when they've given you the second chance and you've been embraced, imagine the fallout that he'll get. He'll get some major backlash for this one.
Well, listen, I don't think that you'll be able to legitimately look at the NBA again if Dwight Howard gets in trouble for fighting for black people.
It's not that he's gonna get in trouble, LZ. Is that the Lakers are gonna be in a situation where they may lose, and on top of that, LeBron is playing. You see what I'm saying? Like, people's going, these bigger than life stars are playing and still making sure that the fans are not losing interest in what we've come to accomplish thus far, where you decided not to play, but the players are still doing their part to make sure that the movement is going and the message is being heard loud and clear on a continuous basis. And then you decide not to play. That's all I'm saying. So how would that feel when they open up the door to you?
Well, I hear the opposite side. It's just that the NBA and LeBron James is in an impossible situation, because you can't criticize Dwight Howard for saying, I want us to stay focused on this message.
No,
I'm not playing.
You can't.
It's not criticism, though. But
there's no question it's not criticism. But the point is, if the Lakers get in the championship or they get knocked off and he make a decision not to play, but the movement is still going forward, it's like, well, wait a minute, man. If you was there – we the one, and ain't nothing changed out in these streets except.
Well, here, let me ask you guys this question, because George Hill for the Milwaukee Bucks has also voiced some reservations and saying that, you know, basketball is the last thing on his mind right now. George Hill is an important piece to what the Bucks do. Obviously, Dwight Howard is important to what we want to do here in L.A. And then when you look at Lou Will, who's also important to the Clippers, has also kind of expressed, you know, some concern. Of these three role players, which team can survive not having that guy for a championship run if all three decided that they weren't going to play?
I think the Clippers probably could survive.
Without Lou Will? I think all three of those teams can survive, because you look at who's left on all three of those teams, and you still have, like, for instance, Lou Williams and George Hill and Dwight Howard are important pieces, but none of those guys are the first or second best player on their team. And I understand that once you get a little bit further down the line, that those guys are important in those moments, but I don't know if anybody is fatally wounded by the idea of not having them. The impact, I mean, Dwight, we talk about Dwight's probably your comeback player of the year. Dwight is probably, what are we talking about? Beyond LeBron and Anthony Davis, he's not too far down the list of the guys that have been the most consistent performers for the Lakers this season. I think, I don't know who would be in the best position, but I think the Lakers would be in the worst. I think he'd be the hardest guy to replace.
I'm leaning more towards the Clippers and Lou Will. I mean, Lou Will is that guy that comes off the bench and just gives them instant offense. And we've seen him win games by himself. You know, Dwight Howard is an important part of what the Lakers need to do, especially defensively. But, you know, in terms of being leaned on for success, I think the Clippers lean on Lou Williams a lot more, whereas we're happy to have Dwight Howard's contribution. But we've had games in which Dwight didn't play a lot of minutes because the matchups didn't work out, or he got in foul trouble, or what have you. Lou Will is a very important piece to what the Clippers want to do, especially coming off the bench with Montrez and that screen and roll situation.
But I think the Clippers are so deep that you could afford for him to be gone, because you still got, you know, you still got Patrick Beverley, that defensively little gnat, might decide to score a bunch of points on you. You still got, obviously, Paul George and Kyrie Irving. I mean, you still got those guys. Not Kyrie Irving, I'm sorry. Paul George. And Kawhi Leonard. You still got those guys that's right there. Then if you needed to tweak your rotation to such that you get minutes from them in play where you would have gotten it from Lou Williams, you can still do those sort of things. So I think, and this Doc coaching. So I feel like I would put more trust in the Clippers without Lou before I would, you know, the Lakers or Milwaukee without their two guys.
Keep in mind, Dave McMenamin, who covers the Lakers for ESPN, he said that he has a quote from a Laker source saying there is no divide. We still have some time to figure things out as a league and as a team. That I hear what Kyrie Irving is saying. I hear what Dwight Howard is saying, and their points are really good ones. But we still have, what, 6-7 weeks before the restart of the season.
That's the point that I was saying. Did they take? They took Dwight's message. He said, I understand, and I'm hearing Kyrie, and this is, you know, I agree with him, but they took that, I agree with him, and they then turned it into a whole conversation for us. And my whole point is, his agent had to come back out and issue another statement to clarify exactly what he meant. He did never say he was not ever going to play. He just said, I agree with Kyrie.
All right. Greg Popovich told Roger Goodell he's got it all wrong yet again. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. I want to get to Greg Popovich and his criticism of Roger Goodell here in just a second, but we were talking a little bit during the break. Anybody that has not had a chance to see Chappelle's special on YouTube, 8:46, I would really recommend it. It's probably not what you'd expect from Dave Chappelle from a comedy perspective, because it's not funny. I mean, there's a couple of funny lines in it, but it was, you and I were talking a second ago. What an incredibly powerful 20 minutes of television or streaming, or however you want to call it. Dave Chappelle talking about George Floyd and everything that we've been dealing with surrounding his death, his murder, for the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
I didn't get a chance to see it. LZ mentioned it to me yesterday, so I'm gonna find it and sit down and
check it out.
It's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. But, you know, he sets a fire to my friend Don Lemon, so I had to check on him, make sure I get a wellness check. Make sure he was doing all right. I was like, thoughts and prayers, brother? Thoughts and prayers, you all right? He set you on fire. But he made a very good point. It was a point that I made when Joe Biden gave his speech. I went on CNN and they asked me, you know, oh, what do you think about Joe Biden and his speech, you know, and on race? And I was like, we ain't waiting on Joe Biden to save anybody.
Yeah.
The people are the movement. Those people in the streets are the movement. Nobody's out there waiting for Beyonce to tell them what to do, or Joe Biden, or Don, or anyone else. You know, it's like, and what I've been trying to do in my role is not pretend as if I'm in front of this movement, but just give reports as to what it's like watching the movement from within and seeing who shows up. And nobody was sitting there like going, we've all gathered. I wonder what Joe Biden's going to tell us what to do. We've all gathered. I wonder what Don Lemon's going to tell us. I mean, I totally got what Dave was coming from. I don't necessarily fully agree with him. But I certainly understood the perspective he was sharing. And as I said, he set my boy Don on fire. So I had to do a little checkup on him, make sure he's all right.
Greg Popovich got Roger Goodell on fire as well. He did an interview with the New York Times. It's been interesting, guys, because the reaction to Roger Goodell's statement has gone through an entire lifespan all of its own. It was a, oh, wow, Roger Goodell did a video where he said, we got it wrong. We need to listen. We need to do better. We need to support peaceful protests, and we need to support the Black Lives Matter movement. He never said Colin Kaepernick's name, and then a day or two after that, would say, yeah, hey, where's Kaepernick? Why doesn't he have a job? Greg Popovich said, quote, a smart man is running the NFL, and he didn't understand the difference between the flag and what makes the country great. All of the people who fought to allow Kaepernick to have the right to kneel for justice. The flag is irrelevant. It's just a symbol that people glom onto for political reasons. Yeah, and we're still seeing it. I mean, we saw that Drew Brees got caught up in this a couple of weeks ago, that the NFL tried to support its players several years ago, only they got distracted. And now he's saying that they may get distracted again, that he got intimidated when Donald Trump jumped on him for kneeling and he folded. You wonder what it's going to be like. Players, J.J. Watt, Baker Mayfield, some others have been very steadfast when they're, oh, these guys won't do it. Said, oh, hell yes, I am. You need to watch me. I don't care if you don't like it or not. You wonder how resilient Roger Goodell and the league itself will be as we get closer to games.
I think that the league is standing down now, because everybody's watching and everybody's talking and everybody's together now, where those same players 5 years ago wasn't going to do all of this. I mean, yeah, J.J. Watt was raising money and doing some certain things for hurricane relief, and I get that. But he wasn't going to step out and be as vocal about the situation now, I mean, then, as he is now. Same thing with Baker Mayfield. Same thing with any of these dudes. Non-white players were not going to jump up and down. Chris Long did it, okay, and maybe one or two other people, but the majority of the white players in the NFL, they were not with it. They just wasn't. They just stayed in their lane. They got the agents. You stay over there. Don't say anything. You just don't want to get caught up in that, because that's just what they was afraid of, because the message had been hijacked. And when it was hijacked, they got to the commissioner and the rest of the owners, and the rest of the owners and the commissioners put their foot down to a point where they were threatening the players to a degree where the players didn't feel like, okay, my career is in jeopardy. If I do this, they're going to do me like they did Kaepernick. Well, now it's like, okay, man, y'all did that. Y'all made a mistake. We're not worried about y'all doing what y'all did to Kaepernick to us now, because it's out in the open. We all see you. We woke up now. We see everything that y'all tried to pull over us, and we not letting it happen right now. So it's totally different. It's a totally different situation. Roger's scrambling to try to figure out how to say Kaepernick's name, because in a minute, people are asking for him to apologize to Kaepernick. Apologize to him directly, not just apologize for whatever, you know, police brutality. No, but apologize to him, because you affected his career based on some you-know-what stuff.
Yeah, it's I'm really past the point of trying to figure out why they won't say his name. Because now I'm at the point now where even if it is some legal schmeagle stuff, you go back to the lawyers, you renegotiate because you need to make this right. So there's some legal schmeagle reason as to why saying his name might activate some verbiage that's in the agreement that they have. Then they need to go back, revisit with lawyers, and get that cleaned up. Because until, one, he says his name in a positive light and apologize to him, and then, two, he gets a fair opportunity to reengage with his profession, until those two things happen, that league is going to always be looked at side-eye. Always. Always. It doesn't matter what kind of video you put together, how slick you package up a commercial, how much money you want to donate. I see you upped it up to $250 over 10 years. That's cute, but we still waiting on cap. And we're not going to let you get Jay-Z and some T-shirts and some money and make us forget who got us here.
Well, as I read Popovich's quote, and when I saw it over the weekend, I think what he's getting at is the sincerity or lack thereof of the NFL's position. That how sincere are they in, hey, we had this wrong and we're going to do better moving forward and we support our players in the protests that they're going to make, as opposed to, okay, the wind is blowing in a different direction right now. We need to do this, but we need to also make sure that we're able to kind of go back the other way. Because the point at the very beginning of the quote, a smart man is running the NFL and he didn't understand the difference between the flag and what makes the country great, all the people who fought to allow him to have the right to kneel for justice. This was the part that was always so screwy from the very beginning. It's like, hold on a second. This isn't about Colin Kaepernick disliking the military. This isn't about Colin Kaepernick disrespecting men and women who fight for this country. His protest, his issue, if you will, is police brutality and the murdering of black citizens by law enforcement. What are we? Roger Goodell had to know the difference between that. Roger Goodell willfully let this thing be taken away from him several years ago. Now, maybe he's seen the light and he's come back and this is a sincere movement. I mean, I'm willing to take that as a possibility. But Greg Popovich's point is, come on, man. You can't honestly tell me that you thought this was about something else. You knew what it is, and now the wind's just blowing in a different direction.
Well, in the beginning stages of it, everything happened so fast, right? It was like, and then it got hijacked, and then it was like a wildfire. So they're scrambling trying to put out the fire and didn't know how to put out the fire. So they allowed that message to continue to be hijacked. And once they allowed it to continue to be hijacked, they continue to follow that negative message and not really pay attention to what it was. Once Kaepernick was out of the NFL, they like, okay, we got rid of Kaepernick. There's only a handful of players that's talking loud. We can try to control them as much as we can, because there was only a handful of players, right? There was not this overwhelming majority of the NFL players that was screaming loud. It wasn't. It was Cap, it was Jenkins, it was Chris Long was
Eric
with
Reed.
Us, Eric Reed. So it was like Anquan Boldin, but Anquan Boldin was on his way out of the league. So it was only like a handful of guys, right? Now all of a sudden, your entire team, for the most part on every single team, I mean your players on every single team, has something to say about the right message opposed to the wrong message or not saying anything at all. And now they got themselves all tied up to try to figure out, okay, how do we now make it right? The only way you're going to make it right is cool, you gave $250 million over 10 years. It's always good to get money. But at the end of the day, let him back in the league and say his name. If you do that, then people going to, you know, you're going to help your cause. If you keep avoiding it, you're only digging yourself a deeper hole. Same thing with Jerry Jones. You're only digging yourself a deeper hole. Not that you even give a damn. You probably don't even care.
Obviously, he doesn't.
You set us on fire on the yacht doing the draft. So we understand what that is. We get it. But until you step up and say something and apologize at such a level that people would accept that apology, you're going to always continue to have these issues.
Kyrie Irving has his own message, and that does not include going back to play NBA basketball at the end of July. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.